Grab your change and take a dip. It's time for a brand new pick and mix.
We'll be right back. Thank goodness it's Friday. Welcome to your Radio Sega Live weekend. This is Pick and Mix, of course, kicking it off. And what you just heard there was a track from Rayman 2, The Great Escape, Pirates Part 2. We got a story coming up with that soundtrack in just a moment. Before that, from Sparkstar, also known as Rocket Knight Adventures 2, or is that just the subtitle? Not too sure, but that's Stage 3. And kicking off the block, What a Chew-In from Megaman X4, also known as Rockman X4 in Japan. That was Mekanai Aiga Kito Aru, I think. Possibly. That's the Japanese intro theme. The instrumental version of that one plays in some versions of the English version, but not all versions. But that's an awesome tune, and that's the full version that you definitely would not hear in-game. And now we are here. It's time for another tune, and it's time for some sultry, melodical voices. Chat's currently going mad a bit, so it's Mr. Friday Night Warm-Up. I'm not a warm-up act, and if you call me a warm-up act, then I'll cut the real thing, right? Not afraid to do so. But regardless, we are here tonight to, surprisingly enough, pander to the fans after I've just brutally insulted them. Tonight's episode was a request, because I asked you last week that I wanted to hear a pick and mix as chosen, as picked, Mr. Ticket there, as picked by you. And FrostGamer98 was in touch and said that he wanted multi-platform games published by Sega. Now, you might have noticed the problem there in that none of those games we just played you were published by Sega. Now, this is not me rebelling against the norm or whatever, you know, going against FrostGamer's word, but Frost said they were more building blocks to turn an episode into rather than solidified, set in stone episode structures, that sort of thing. So I was doing some research and I ultimately decided that these three games would make a really fun episode. So I'm more than happy to oblige. Got some great music. You've got to have played at least one of them at this point. Everyone's got memories of one of the three. And great tunes, great games, some great chat, hopefully. And I was very happy with the ones we ended up picking out. I thought they were some different picks, not stuff we would normally talk about on Pick and Mix. I'm aware I say that as we have a Mega Drive game, a Mega Man game, and a Rayman game in here. The point being, these otherwise would be very different to what I'd normally choose, and I couldn't really normally choose them because we don't tend to do third-party stuff on the show as much as we should do. But I really like all three of these, so I wanted to feature them. And we're still going to have some more listener requests in the future, and hell, we might even come back to Brit's idea and solely Brit's idea, Frost's idea, in the future. So there's still all to play for, but for now, this is what we're going with. So I'd like to give a huge thank you to Frost in what is ultimately becoming the Night of Frost, because apparently Leighton Live was as chosen by Frost as well this week. In just a moment, in 3 hours' time, it'll have been chosen by Frost as well. So, celebrating the fans tonight here. I say fans. Celebrating the friends of the station here tonight on RS. And, well, hopefully you're all enjoying it as well so far. I know we've been in a single talk match for about 10 minutes, if even that. And I'm already saying I hope you're enjoying it, but I'm desperate. Seriously, people. Anyway, so before going any further, I would just like to say as well, we do not have any Codebreakers tonight. I just thought it was a bit unfair to have it, because it's not on the Radio Sega playlist, any of these songs. They're not on the third-party rotation, anything like that. And I just thought it was a bit mean to put these in. But I will mention that one of the other reasons I didn't put it in, Rayman 2... has an interesting quirk in that the only way you can officially get the soundtrack is through GOG, Good Old Games. And that's exactly how I did it. I purchased it through GOG and I got the soundtrack for free. Downloaded it. Great. But the problem with this version of the soundtrack is everything is tagged super weirdly. There's some songs that have two, if not three, different versions. There's songs that have different parts. Like you just heard Pirates Part 2, for example. That's one of the four parts of a song that individually makes up the song Pirates. But for some reason, they're not all together, I don't know. And there's actually two versions of Pirates Part 2, so you can't even piece them together and just make a whole song. But Rayman 2 in particular, it's got songs that are separated into parts, songs that have a bunch of punctuation in them, which makes them difficult to make an anagram of. songs that have multiple different versions, both of which people complain about. Songs that even, if you look them up on the internet, might have different names to the ones I've got here. Just an absolute travesty if I were to put this in. And it wouldn't feel right to not include it. Sparkster has a similar problem where the songs are all called like Stage 1, Stage 2, Stage 3, Boss Theme. But that wouldn't make for any really inventive anagrams either. The only one which kind of would is Mega Man X4. And that has the problem of various versions of the soundtrack list the songs with different names. So I'm a bit stuck for Codebreakers tonight, so we're skipping it out. But in its place, we have absolutely nothing except your requests, of course. So you can get them in on Discord, radiose.do/Discord, or on Twitter, #RSPickNMix, or by private messaging me at the Green Viper 8 or at Radio Sega. Well, this place is where you can get in your music that you want to hear from the three games featured tonight. Also accepting remixes, so if you know any good remixes from these games, be sure to send them my way as well. And outside of that, we got some King Requesters coming up later in the show, so we ditched one segment, but we haven't ditched the other. So that's coming up towards the end, a little bit later than it normally would do. Also got the usual, we're going to be talking about the games, we're going to be asking for your opinions on them, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about what's coming up on Radio Sega later on, because in the place of where we'd normally do the Codebreakers results, got to do something, hey? So I thought I'd talk about what's coming up over the coming week, and potentially over the coming weeks, sir. Apostrophe. It wouldn't be an apostrophe, it'd be plural. It's been another long week, people, and I'm sure it's been the same for you, and my brain is fried. Slightly less than normal, surprisingly, for once. You know, I've got the brain juices flowing a little bit before this show. They might not be flowing well, but they're certainly going, and they're speaking all sorts of nonsense. Yes, they are. The juices, each individual one is flowing its own nonsense. Anyway, that's been enough from me. What about you guys? Remember that I just said radiose.ga/Discord? Yes, well, believe it or not, there's some fun and crazy people coming and chatting right now, such as the likes of RavSieg, Resident SD, I Need Fruit, Frost, Veritex, myself, Nicholas Aman, others potentially, very possibly, Doan 2300. I don't know why I said that so slowly, it wasn't that difficult to pronounce. Grey4. And some others. If you're lurking, hello to you. If you're listening on the podcast, hello to you as well. And if you don't like your Discords, but you do want to listen and chat, once again, that's at Radio Sega on Twitter or using #ArtistPickNMix. I'll be able to see all your comments there. So perhaps don't say anything bad about me under the hashtag because it will be noticed. Like, just subtweet me instead. That'll be much easier for me to ignore and keep the spirits high. That's really the key, and it's just mainly talking about late in life, as it always seems to be at the start of my show. You people will never learn that you're currently listening to the only Radio Sega show that requires no neighbour warning, because you're not going to be turning it up for as long as I'm talking. Once those tunes come on, that's when the volume goes up. I'm joking, of course. Don't turn me off. Always keep me on. I'm not going to say the other phrase. I got close. You thought I was going to say it, and you thought you were going to clip it, but no. I'm always on the ball with these shows. Speaking of being on the ball, let's play some... I just said ball wrong, didn't I, after going on that diatribe. Let's play some music. Rayman 2, The Great Escape. Doesn't get much more simplistic, and not really any much of a better place to start than a song simply known as Introduction. You're listening to Radio Sega, you're listening to Pick and Mix. Friday night is thankfully here, and you're listening to the sultry sounds of Rayman 2. We'll be right back.
charity one game at a time. This is Pick and Mix on Radio Sega.
Welcome back to Pick and Mix, only apparently on Radio Sabler. Wouldn't you look at that? Before, you just heard me mispronounce a word on purpose. You heard Raymond 2. Raymond. The Great Escape. The Woods of Light, before that from Mega Man X4, also known as Rockman X4. That's the theme of the Web Spider stage, one of the only stages that I can competently clear in that game. And before that from Rayman 2, also, that was the Introduction. I believe that's the opening cutscene, but it's called Introduction for some reason. Or it's not, it might just be on the title screen or something like that. I'm not really sure, to keep it real with you. It's not my job to know, because it's a third-party game and not a game made by the company this station is all about. So, not my problem. Anyway, we are back, and now I'm going to give you a review on one of the games featured tonight. And really, what else could I go with except the one that I've been headlining for this show? None other than Mega Man X4. So I'll start off by saying that Mega Man X4 is my favourite game in the Mega Man X series. If we tack some bullet points onto that statement. So let's start off with Let's start off with the game's strongest point. Regarding the gameplay, this is definitely a zero game. As in, the character zero, not as in it's a zero out of ten. X feels a little underwhelming to users. Combat doesn't pack anywhere near as much of a punch as Zero's does, and lots of enemies are designed for close-range combat. Exactly like Zero has. Unlike Mega Man's... X's... How close range would I describe it? Not very. Mega Man's far away shoot and pray Mega Buster / arm cannon. Even with the likes of his... I can't think what it's called all of a sudden. His supercharge just doesn't quite meet the mark. Especially when compared to Zero's, he doesn't feel as powerful. His Mega Buster doesn't seem to do as much damage over time, so you shoot out like little pea bullets, whatever, that sort of thing. They don't really seem to do much. Your charge shot doesn't seem to do much either. You feel significantly underpowered, despite the fact that most of the game is roughly the same as X. So, that ain't good. It's not much of an issue once you receive robot powers, or at least it's not a huge issue. It's still definitely there. But it feels like it's at play throughout the game still quite a lot. Like, it wasn't designed with X in mind. He also has significantly less plot significance than Zero does. So it leads to a game which feels almost pointless to play as the series' main protagonist. And it's a game that, in my opinion, marked the start of Mega Man X's shift towards being a Zero franchise. And, of course, we got Mega Man Zero, those games for the Game Boy Advance, and later on newer consoles when they ported them. But, as a whole, this really began Zero's takeover of the X franchise itself, where the story started to revolve a lot more around him. He started to become the main playable character. And there was really no point in playing as X in the slightest. Let's focus on Zero then, since we're talking so much about him. As a character, he's incredibly fun to play as. His sword deals some mighty hits, and dashing up on enemies to deal them a blow to the face is satisfying, if not a bit fiddly at times. Combat feels fast and fluid, and when combined with the use of his dash attack, it can turn Mega Man X4, when played skillfully, into an art form, and one of the fastest traditional platformers of its day, much faster than any X game before it, and possibly after it, and certainly giving the likes of the classic series a run for its money. Unsurprisingly, I'm nowhere close to mastering this art, but I enjoy my time dashing into enemies like a maniac and landing the occasional critical hit when I'm feeling competent. Keyword being when I'm feeling competent there, because we're about to, in just a moment. In fact, right now, we're going to talk about the difficulty. I'm going to get it out of the way and talk about the difficulty a bit. It's that classic Mega Man curve / spike, depending on who you are and how well you play. But I didn't quite manage to get through, and even before giving up, I had to resort to using the cheat mode or the easy mode, which comes with the newer ports of the game. I've never been good at Mega Man, or particularly the series as a whole, or spin-offs, or really quite a lot of more challenging platformers like this. So I can't comment on the game as a whole, but I always end up enjoying what I'm able to play and experience of this game, and the series in general. And I'd certainly say that Mega Man X4 is no exception. It tends to feel fair, and it feels fair hard, except for those rare few instances where you feel a bit cheated,
but I feel it's at that happy medium where it's not as frustrating as something like Mega Man and Bass, but it's not dead easy like Mega Man Powered Up. It's somewhere towards the middle, which is the right balance. You want to get it so kids can still enjoy it, and most people can still enjoy it to a degree, but you've got to have that level of mastery to be able to actually beat it, and it does nail that perfect compromise, in my opinion. The story here, however, is mediocre, leaning towards bad. Regardless of how much narrative they try to cram into an X game, the stories in these things are never what people come for, and they're never particularly good, but they tend to put so much emphasis on it instead of the gameplay, and this was the game where that started to leak into Mega Man X more than ever, because they got CD technology to play with, so they crammed in a lot of FMVs, crammed in a lot of dialogue boxes, that sort of thing, and they wanted to show off the power of the PlayStation / Saturn / PC. So this is the start of when cutscenes began to leak into the X series, before X5 and especially X6 and X7, also X8, just took over, and it was more cutscenes than gameplay. So this, in a way, begins the downfall of the X series, but also they're not too intrusive here. Now, I might go back on that statement because, well, I chose to skip these cutscenes and it's a chore to do so. You get stopped quite frequently to watch these cutscenes in the middle of levels, at the end of levels, just before you go into another one, various checkpoints throughout the stages. And these are all in-engine for the most part. There are a couple of FMVs, as I said before, and they can be skipped, but you have to manually mash through them. Unlike most games of the time where the start button completely skipped the sequence and you could just continue, here you have to sit and spam your X button or whatever controller you're using on the modern versions. You have to spam it and wear out your keys or your buttons just to get to the end of the cutscene. And this is quite infuriating, because when you're playing a fast-paced platformer like this, coming to a dead stop which you had no control over to watch 20 seconds of cutscenes which you're already desperately trying to skip does prove to be a bit of a problem, and this only gets worse as the game goes on. But yeah, I mean there's worse crimes to a game, but there's also far better solutions that are much more user-friendly than what the game actually decides to put you through. But it definitely has an effect in breaking up the flow of the game, because you're suddenly running fast, you're dashing all over the place, you're swiping your sword, and then you're at a dead stop for 30 seconds reading some text boxes. Voice acting is also infamously awful. The English voices were hard to come by, or English voices in general were hard to come by in 90s Japan, and so good translators were, and proofreaders were as well, we learned through this game. Never quite reaches the lowest of lows set by Mega Man 8 on the Saturn or PlayStation, but it does get dangerously close at times. But thankfully, the majority of the game ends up being early CD cheesy voice acting written by people with no English comprehension. So if that's your favourite type of game, or your favourite type of cutscene, sorry, cheesy, not very well written, not proofread, awful voice acting, then you're going to enjoy the cutscenes here, but mash through the text boxes and just watch the FMVs. That's really what's worth it. The music is nice. I could pick a handful of tracks that I enjoy and jam out to all the time, but it wouldn't place anywhere near the top of my Mega Man favourite soundtrack list. It mostly gets eclipsed by the majority of the classic series, and most of the X series actually as well. The Saturn version, Woo Woo Team Sega, does end up having the superior music, with its soundtrack being closer to the original Studio Masters, as most tracks end up being longer. I haven't figured out a reason why, because the Saturn and PlayStation, I believe, had the same disc size, and neither one was Redbook, so I'm not quite sure how this happened, but it did. Mega Man soundtracks are readily available to download on Steam, as well as on services like Spotify, and I'd recommend this one, but only when it goes on sale on Steam. It's hard for me to justify £8 when there's soundtracks in the series more deserving that money, with plenty more tracks, but hey, it's there if you enjoy the music. On the subject of the Saturn version, on paper it is the better version, but actually in practice, doesn't matter all too much. The Saturn version has some different, not necessarily better graphics, but it also misses some special graphical effects from the PlayStation version, which take advantage of the specific hardware. So both versions have graphical features exclusive, which play to their strengths. So it wins at some and loses at others, and it's difficult to say which one you should play based on the graphical standpoint, but ultimately the Saturn version does win out with the better soundtrack. Aside of that, and soundtrack's debacle, it's identical to the PlayStation version on paper. The best way to play this is more than likely through the X Collection on Steam, once again with a caveat though. This game, or this collection, as well as the game within the collection, has a noticeable amount of input lag. The King's favourite word, of course. Or favourite term. But luckily, this can be fixed through tweaks. If you apply these tweaks, they're done through the Steam console. It's the same as Mega Man X4 on any other platforms, except it's an old game, which means it will more than likely run in your system, and it does look a hell of a lot better than it would through your composite cables which you got lying around for your PlayStation. So I'd recommend playing it through here. It's got a few more bells and whistles compared to just playing it normally through an emulator, for example, either a Saturn or PlayStation emulator. It's, I believe it has effects from both versions, so it might be the best way to play it, and it's on the most accessible platform, so that's where I'd recommend you play it. And it does help that it doesn't cost an arm and a leg like the PlayStation, or sorry, the Saturn version, and it isn't slowly creeping up in price like the PlayStation version. In conclusion, I really enjoy Mega Man X4. It's got a laundry list of problems that I could list off, but the game at its best is a good bit of dumb run and gun action, even if you mainly play as a character with a sword. But it rewards you through your own feeling of accomplishment at mastering the game's movement and attack mechanics. The main objective of the game is obviously not that, but the main fun of the game comes down to your own mastery at it, which any great platformer should take in strides. I'd recommend you check it out regardless of the console, but be sure to be mindful of its various problems. What are we fighting for? And that's a good question to leave it on. Anyway, I'm going to get into what you guys think about it after the break. And I'm going to talk about what you guys think of the other games as well, because we've had some choice words about the song, about the game we're about to play a song from next for you. Sparkstar Rocket Knight Adventures 2, the sequel to, unsurprisingly, who would have guessed it, Rocket Knight Adventures. And this one generally is considered to be a lot better on SNES, which I was stuttering to say because it's just not good. But apparently it's got the better screen resolution, it's got a lot better graphical effects, and supposedly music. I'm a bit on the fence about the music myself, but people say it's true, so it must be. But here's an example of cases where the Mega Drive / Genesis version of Sparkstar can kick some serious ass. Of course, what else could it be? It's the mid-boss theme, right here on Radio Sega. welcome back to Pick and Mix. Of course, you just heard the theme of Sign Up a Peacock from Mega Man X4. For that, from Rayman 2, that was Fouch. I've never seen that word in my life before, but I think it might be Fouch. And before that, from Mega Man X4 once again, that was the boss theme, and Kicking Off the Block was another boss theme, except it was a mid-boss theme. It was kind of average. Okay, no, it's just the mid-boss theme from Sparkster Rocket Knight Adventures 2. And we are back, and it's time to talk about the games. It's time to talk about what you guys think about hashtag the games. I don't know why I'm saying hashtag. It's because people keep talking about hashtags in the Discord. I think that's why. Let's have a look and see what you guys have been talking about in the meantime. Yes. I am well aware the stream is down. You're not listening to this on the podcast, or you are listening to this on the podcast. You're going to hear this later on the stream, and you're going to make fun of me. It's going to be really funny, like it has been every other time so far. But in all seriousness, yes, the stream has gone down. I'm aware. I've tried to fix it. It hasn't come back up yet. But podcast listeners, you're all completely fine and good. People are talking. Nope, it's not about my show being back. Great. Awesome. Amazing. So, what can we really discuss? Because people can't currently have a chat to me. And even if they could, they ain't going to give me the opinions I'm looking for, the high-quality ones. But generally, I did see, actually, there was a lot of talk of, early FMV gaming. And, yeah, Mega Man X4, because we had that discussion in the last talk break. It's not the most egregious example of FMV I've ever seen in my life. It's certainly not the best example either. Oh, God, my throat tonight is killing me. You're going to hear various weird imperfections with my voice tonight. But, yeah, it's not the worst example I've seen of FMVs. Not the greatest. But the animation is actually very nice on them. No clue who did them, but it looks like some sort of professional animation studio rather than in-house jobby. But the voice acting, yep, just ain't up to scratch. So, from what I've heard, supposedly the voice acting I did mention in the review was done by English speakers in Tokyo, which there's not a lot of them now who do active voice work, and there certainly wasn't then. And you get the argument a lot of, well, why couldn't they have just hired someone better? Like, could they not screen them? No, because none of the people who were screening them would have spoken English, and there was a very finite supply of people they could get in the area, because they weren't going to call in someone from abroad to do this when, back in the 90s, Japanese developers really didn't care that much about the English audience, and that shows. It really shows in a lot of Capcom's games. I mean, the menus are nicely translated at least, but the rest of it, no attention to detail, because once you're in the game, that's it. You've been dropped in. You've been out-Englished by the game itself. The game's Englished quite badly. What can you do, though? That's just this era of gaming, especially on the PlayStation. That was prevalent. Not as much on the Saturn, but a lot of those FMV-type games didn't leave Japan on the Saturn. They stayed exclusively there. Whereas PlayStation, they're like, yeah, let's translate these, because we're losing money, so why not? Let's bring them to the UK and the US and all these other places. And, oh, no, they bombed. But this wasn't one of those examples. This game sold well, but it also wasn't a true FMV game in the traditional sense, I guess. You know, it's not the entire focus of the game. Think of something like Night Trap. That's what I'm really talking about here. Yeah, so what can you do on that front? And also, there's talks of, just as the stream cut out, I was talking about Rocket Knight Adventures 2, known as Sparkster, and people are correct to point out it's not a true multiplat. There are quite a few differences between the two that I'm aware of, but in the end, they take the same name, so people would like to class them as multiplats, but yeah, not traditionally as such. Enough changes between the two to where they fundamentally feel like different games on different consoles, but I know it's heresy to say the SNES version is better, but that's the general consensus. I've never played the SNES version, and I've briefly, for the purposes of this episode, played the Mega Drive version, so I can't comment too much on the intricacies of how each version stacks up to each other, but yeah, that's what I hear. I was reading a lot of forums, I was watching some videos on it, and that was the consensus that 100%, 1000% play the SNES version, which pains me a little bit, because I know people love the Mega Drive version and Sega fan forever, so I got to defend it to the death, and I quite happily will, but can't deny the popular opinion, man. But then again, people say the SNES version is better for a lot of games, and it isn't, so maybe I'll take that one with a pinch of salt. But all the games tonight, Rayman 2 as well, I haven't spoken too much about that, and truth be told, that's because I didn't get enough time to get into the meat of the game. I only really played the first 2 minutes or so, and even then, that didn't give me much of a taster of what was to come. But it's a game that's been re-released so many times, and yet the series creator, the series devs, and the general consensus seem to point towards the fact that the Dreamcast version is still the best version of the game. It's the most complete, it's got the CD audio, it doesn't have problems. The PC version is considered okay, but it has some cutbacks to fit on PCs of the time. It doesn't have the full soundtrack, I believe, it's quite compressed. So that would traditionally be the best version if we were to look at it from a lot of modern perspectives. Oh, well, the PC version's got to be better because it's got all these fancy graphics settings, but not back in the day, not everyone had a gaming PC, so you got to optimise it, and it was ultimately optimised to its demise, and the Dreamcast version ended up being a little bit better in that regard. But it's got more content than the N64 version because of its larger disc space. It's got more music, I believe, and more levels than the PS1 version. And same for that as well, more content in comparison to the two of them. Later ports of the game completely changed the graphics, some of the music, the general gameplay style in some instances. You had complete remakes like Rayman Revolution for the PS2. You had kind of partial but also sort of remakes like Rayman 3D, which wasn't very good. It's a game that's been ported so many times, and yet the old Sega box wins in almost every single regard. And it ends up being the best way to play the game. So we've got two games where it's actually most successful to play on the Sega consoles tonight. Two-thirds is not bad. I'll quite happily take two-thirds, and one of them is ambiguous as to what the real answer is. But that's why they were all picked tonight, because they are triumphant, great Sega ports. So I wanted to give an opportunity to talk about them. And also, they have great soundtracks. Let's not beat around the main reason that I actually wanted to talk about these games. I'm within my right to just want to play some good music on the show. So to do that, I shout. And in fact, to save you all the embarrassment of hearing 10 minutes of me rambling, more than that actually, 20 minutes of me rambling when the stream does come back up, we're just going to get into more music now to hopefully save the stream, because it gives me more time to restart it on the live version. So maybe this might kick it back into gear. And yep, it has indeed done just that. Let's go into some Mega Man X4, and well, there's two versions of the opening stage theme. Luckily, you're going to be hearing them both in this block. And hey, we should look at that. We've got some sparks are in here too, and that's the opening stage. Looking like it's a stage 1-1 block here, so let's kick it off with X's version of the opening stage theme from Mega Man, Rockman, X4. We'll be right back. Hey there. Believe it or not, you're listening to Pick and Mix. And you were just listening to the Zero version of the opening stage from Mega Man X4. And before that, you were listening to Stage 1-1, also the theme of Stage 1-3, from Sparkster. And then before that, you were listening to the X version of the opening stage from, when you know it, Mega Man X4. Truly incredible. There's nothing else like it, really, is there? So I'd like to give you guys a little bit of an update on what's going on in Radio Segaverse currently. Any updates I can relay to you, that sort of thing. Now, I did mention last week, but I'd like to recap it first of all, in the beginning of the block here, the beginning of the block of talking here, that we have launched the community bulletin over on RadioSega.net. Just want to give a bit of a shout out to it again, because it's worth talking about. So any interesting events going on in the Radio Sega community, our community, as well as other people's Sega communities, we're looking to cover. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, that's admin@radiosega.net, or you can write a message to me, greenviper at #6383. But we're looking to get the coverage out there for your Sega stuff, so do let us know if you've got anything of interest. But of course, we'll still be using it for our own bits and bobs, like announcing events, announcing perhaps new merchandise, that sort of thing. And on the subject of new merchandise, quickly, I would also like to discuss the Radio Sega shop and what's going on over there at the moment, because we launched that a couple months ago now. What did we say we were celebrating? I think we just wanted to launch it, actually. But we launched the Radio Sega shop with a variety of items available on there, all of which support the station. We've got some interesting stuff on there, the likes of t-shirts based around shows, mugs, hoodies, generic shirts, as well as shirts based off events. We're going to have more shirts, more hoodies, etc. to come soon. But one thing, because we've got to be topical here, people, one thing that we've made, and we're going to hopefully make more of, is none other than the Radio Sega face mask. The description reads, it doesn't get more topical than face marks, so why not face marks? You don't want it to be leaving marks, do you? Let's be honest. It's bad enough that they steam up your glasses already. The last thing you want is bruises over your face or in a face mask. So I can guarantee you that they do not do that. Why not rep Radio Sega while staying safe? And I'm waiting on mine, actually, but it looks like it's got some good ventilation, can't lie. Looks like a nice quality mask, and it comes for only £8. Eight of your British pounds or eight of your American dollars. For some reason, it's way cheaper to produce in America than it is in the UK. Not really sure why, but it's just the generic version. It doesn't have any logo on it or anything, but I think it looks super swanky without the logo on it. When we first put it together, I was super thrilled at how nice it looked, and you can go ahead and grab your own version of that over at radiose.ga/merch, and it's at the very top of the page. Of course, we all need to stay safe at the moment, and especially here in the UK, with it now being mandatory to wear it in a lot of places. You should have been doing it anyway, lads. But with it mandatory in a lot of places, it's important to cover up, you know, put the mask on, etc. So get doing what? Get round to that, please. Be safe, protect your fellow friends, family, and annoying general public from the likes of the virus that shall not be named. And you can do it so with Radio Sega style, and we actually barely make any money on this. We just did it because we think it's cool, and it's a lot cheaper than other face masks, which are like £30 for a designed version. So we wanted to pass a bit of a deal on to you this time, and deal we certainly have going here. We might be making some more, so let us know, are there any patterns you would be interested in having on a mask based on Radio Sega designs that we are able to put on stuff? Do let me know. I might make a version with the logo potentially as well, but did quite like how it came out without the logo. It can be quite discreet about it, because I know there are some people who don't like wearing their like their gaming merch in public, that sort of thing. So you can quite discreetly wear this, it just looks like a cool pattern. But if you want to rep us as well, perhaps I'll look into getting one with the logo, just for added brandability. You look like you've been branded with a cattle prod, that sort of thing. If you'd like that, then we can definitely deliver with the Radio Sega face mask. Of course, you have got other stuff on there, so if you'd like to support the station, please go ahead and purchase some stuff. It'd be greatly appreciated. Now, of course, we've got nothing but Twitch stuff to talk about coming up next. So, the Radio Sega Twitch channel. Remember, you can find that at twitch.tv/Radio Sega. We've got some new stuff on the pipeline. And we did have a discussion about this last week. So, I did mention that Rav Sieg is coming back to Mondays. And he already has been for the last 2 weeks. Mondays at 7 p.m. He'll be playing various multiplayer games as well as some single player stuff. But mainly focusing on that multiplayer with the community. Last week, we had quite a few rounds of Sega Rally Online Arcade, the now delisted Sega Rally 3 port. Technically Sega Rally 3, also kind of Sega Rally Revo, but it's a combination of all of them. But the now delisted game, which a lot of us in Radio Sega and in the community as well have our hands on. So we had some races on that. It was a great deal of fun, and Rav is scheduled to come back sometime next week. By sometime, I of course mean Mondays at 7. That was never going to change. On top of that, Rav is actually looking into expanding into a second slot during the week. I can't reveal anything about that yet, just simply because I don't know it. But we do have some openings coming up. Some shows are going off season for the summer. So in their places, we might have some more Twitch content coming to you. Some Twitch content I definitely know we have coming is none other than myself. I hinted at this last week, but it's now set in stone. So last Sunday, I did a stream of Hiroki, the propellerhead platformer, which was used to be a Sega game once upon a time, and then the developers bought the rights back to it because Sega were no longer interested in working with them, so they bought the rights. And we were playing the Switch version, which was independently published. I'm almost at the end of that. I got one more world left to go, and then we're almost away. We can play something else then, but we're going to play something else anyway. I'm going to break my own rules, which I set, because tomorrow, do join me at 4 p.m. UK time. This is an announcement, so listen clear. 4 p.m. UK time tomorrow, join me for none other than Mario and Sonic at the Rio 2016 Olympic Games, because tonight was meant to be, rather tragically, the Olympic opening ceremony, I do believe, if not this weekend. So I thought, hey, why don't we play one of the games in the series that I've never experienced before, go through it blind. Heard quite a lot of good things about 2016 version, but I also hear quite a lot of bad things, but I hear that about every version of the game. But if it's anything like Tokyo 2020, I'm going to enjoy my time with it. So I'm going to be tucking my teeth into that. I'm going to have to set up my Wii U, which is in another room. There's the joke to be made about how dusty it is, but I do love my Wii U. Got a bunch of games on the way for it, actually. Both for the stream and not for the stream, so some of which you'll be seeing on some Saturdays soon, but every Saturday from now on, from 4 p.m, I'm going to try and go till 9 p.m, but no guarantees, we're going to have some Twitch content for you from myself. Mainly only playthroughs, because Rav's doing most of the multiplayer stuff, and to be honest, on my own stream and on the Twitch stream, I just did multiplayer stuff for so many years and not really doing any playthroughs that I'm a bit bored of it now. I want to do some playthroughs again, want to be productive, because lockdown for a lot of us has been a variety of things, a cocktail of various problems and mental issues. But for me, I found it a lot more difficult to relax. I have to constantly be in work mode at all times. I have to be doing something productive towards RS or towards my job or towards my Twitch stream or towards my community, that sort of thing, to where I just don't have time to sit down and play games. And if I do, I feel guilty because I feel like I could be doing something more productive. And it's so difficult to switch my brain off that coming back to streaming is my way to switch my brain off and play some games that I want to, because I can live guilt-free because I'm still contributing something towards RS, I'm still entertaining people, I'm still reaching out to my side of the community as well as the Radio Sega side of the community. So I can play some games while doing some networking and feeling like I'm doing something productive. But I know a lot of people have had similar issues during this whole thing, and it's been plaguing me as well. Last time I played a casual game was Yakuza 6, which was like 4 months ago now when I played that, which is scary to think about. As you know, it'd be more close to 3 months, but it's still really scary that I've pretty much not touched a game minus like random matches with friends during that time. Can't wait for this to be over so I can actually just sit down and enjoy some games and not have to constantly 24/7 work on stuff. But I enjoy it, of course, that's why I do it, but I feel a bit guilty if I don't do it. So this is my way of relaxing and saying thank you to you. And I can say as well, in regards to the Twitch stream, that we should have the return of Greyforce sometime soon. More details on that to be announced in just a bit. And by just a bit, I mean over the next coming week, such as what it will feature, what days, times, etc. But we do have something coming on that as well. And one more thing before I leave, I want to say that The Hidden Palace, we've been airing it, unsurprisingly, for the last few months. But one of the things that's always been the most infamous about it is its podcast feed. Sorry to say it, Skyblaze, but we all know that's one of the most infamous aspects of the show. It's been outdated for a very long time, but some of you have already seen our plans got a bit rumbled in the Discord, so I'm just going to officially announce it now, even though it's not quite ready yet. But The Hidden Palace is coming to various podcasting platforms, including Spotify for the first time, and it's going to be all up to date on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and RSS feeds, and your various services of choice. Currently, there's still quite a large gap, and some people we do know have been making recordings of shows, and I don't prohibit this at all. But if you do have recordings of these shows, if you have any in the years 2017 or 2018, that is where the large majority of the gap is. So if you have any recordings of The Hidden Palace from around the 2017 to 2018 period, get in contact with me. I'm viper@radiosega.net. I'd really quite like to have those so we can add them to the podcast feed. But outside of that, we have all of season one, not very much of season two, a good... Actually, we have all of season three and a large chunk, if not all, of season four. And season four, seasons in The Hidden Palace got moved about a bit, but from season three onwards, it's yearly. So season three is all of 2019, that's all there. And all of 2020 is mostly all there now, with the exception of the past couple of episodes. But that's all coming to streaming services, and if you've already subscribed to it, it's all been updated. It has been for like the last 2 weeks. As I say, we did get a bit rumbled on that, but we weren't quite ready to reveal it yet. Still technically not, but might as well say it, because Skyblaze mentioned it on their show last week that we were working on it. And I can say that, yeah, it's ready. You can listen to it, but there's still some gaps. So anything from 2017 is a bit hit and miss. Anything from 2018 is basically a no-go. 2019 onwards, it's all there. And if it's not, we're working on it. And anything else from the backlog, we're working on as well. But that's available now. We're going to keep working on it. And it's on Spotify as well. We're having a few problems with the Spotify version, but we're also working on that. For the most part, there's just a couple episodes missing that you can otherwise pick up on Radio Sega Media on Apple Podcasts if you notice they're missing from Spotify. We're going to have to send off some emails for that because the service isn't working the way we want it to. I'm grinning from ear to ear as I say that right now. Anyway, that's been the Radio Sega News recap for this week. I've always got some stuff that I want to relay to you guys, and I've successfully done just that. And we're nearing the end of the show. This is going to be a really short one this week, but I'm not actually even too mad about that. But if you do have any requests to bolster the show out, feel free to get in touch with me. I am GreenViperate #6383 on Discord, as I've mentioned. There are the places you can get in contact with me. The only one I listed, apparently, is the place you can get in contact with me. But you can do. That's the only place. It's not, but directly, that's the only place. But for anyone like, nah, it's the only place overall. But it's not. Point being, we've got Kinga Requesters coming up in the next block of music, and then it's time for the end. So you've really kind of got about 5 minutes if you want to hear your music. Otherwise, you will forever hold your peace. Speaking of peace, let's peace out and let's go into some music from Rocket Knight Adventures. And this is nothing like a peaceful song. Rather, it's a banging chewen. It's a rock track for the ages. It's none other than Fight with King Gidel. This is Pick and Mix. We'll be right back.
Want to catch more Pick and Mix? Find us and various other Radio Sega shows on your podcast service of choice. Or you can download any show, past or present, from RadioSega.net.
Welcome to the King of Requesters, our PvP player versus player chart show, where only one of you can be king after duking it out for the King of Requesters crown. Now, you've been requesting throughout the Monday to Friday week here on Radio Sega, and one of you has pressed that button more times than anyone else, and that's what we're here to calculate tonight, and we're here to reveal to you who's got the most requests, who's got the most time on their hands. And I'm sure someone's going to say, actually, no, I've got more time on my hands, I just don't request. And I'd rather I didn't know that, to keep it real with you. But this person, they've got some serious dedication to the Radio Sega cause if they've requested more than anyone else, because some fierce competition on these charts always. And, well, it's not guaranteed that you'll get onto the King of Requesters just because you set a bookmark, for example, for the web page, and you've set a bookmark for your favourite songs. Just because you've done that doesn't mean it's going to make it onto the charts. And while it's true, it might make it onto the top 40. The top 40 is not what we're tracking here. It's all well and good having, oh well, I've got the most requested song because I pressed request on it 10 times throughout the week and I spammed it the second I woke up. It's not what matters, people. What matters is not. It's not how many times you request. About how you request, about how you use it. And in this case, this person, well, we've seen a little bit of a different technique here, because if you follow the King of Requesters technique, you'll see quite often that in order to bolster their number, people will request one song one time, and they'll request their top three songs as many times as they want, or the top five, or however many songs they want to get into the top 40. They'll request them all they want, and then they'll just request a bunch of random songs to get themselves into the top spot. This week we haven't seen that. We've just seen someone with a lot of dedication to the songs they love. So, more so gunning for that traditional top 40 rather than that King Requester's crown. But yet they somehow did it. They got more requested than anyone else. There was some fierce competition. So, in fifth place we had Last Call Games. I believe a newcomer to the King of Requesters top 5. Number 4, we had an old B, but never a winner before. We had a Voxy. Of course, Nicholas Aman, who else could be in the top 3? Ravseek, who else could be in the top 2? But none of them compare. Ravseek kind of does, but the rest of them don't even compare to our number 1. And number 1 actually ends up being a fresh face to the King of Requesters throne. This week's number 1 is none other than old school forum user X-Boy in the house. Congratulations to X-Boy. And we've got completely obscure, flipped on the head requests tonight in the top 3. Ones that you'd never hear on Pick and Mix, and doubt you'd hear on Radio Sega in general. Coming up here in 3rd place from McDonald's Treasureland Adventure, Stage 4, Magical Moon, Part 1.
Bye.
And for one last time, or not ever, I say this every week, don't I? Not ever, just tonight, welcome back to Pick and Mix. That was X-Boy in the House's top three in the King of Requesters chart this week. His number one was from Magic Knight Rayearth, the Saturn version. Duh. And that was Tokyo Tower, a great tune there. Nice little bop to end off the block. For that, I forget how much I love the soundtrack to Hellfire, and yet every time it comes on, my mind is just blown away. That was Ready to Go, the theme of Captain Lancer there, from the Mega Drive version of Hellfire. Kicking off the block at number 3 from McDonald's Treasure Land Adventure. Stage 4, Magical Moon, Part 1. A good old Mackie D's adventure. It's probably higher quality than the contents of their food. Wouldn't you know it? Not a huge McDonald's fan. I'm going to keep it real. This is not a subject I'd normally go into, but sometimes you just got to talk about the controversial stuff. But I would I'd eat a Burger King over a McDonald's any day. And to be honest, I'd rather play Sneak King than McDonald's Land Adventure. McDonald's Treasure Land Adventure. It's because there was that game called McDonald Land as well, which is confusing me. I hear it's okay, but I'd just rather play Sneak King. It's what Metal Gear Solid should have been, people. I, of course, holy kid, in case no one can tell, this is sarcasm, because I really would rather not be relentlessly bullied for that opinion on the internet. So, swiftly moving on from that factoid, I want to give a huge thank you to everyone who's been tuned into the show tonight. We've had the likes of Shadid. Hello to Shadid. Been a long old time since we've conversed, especially on the radio. Then we had Frost and Mix, of course, the suggester. It's not a word, I just made it up. The suggester of the topic at hand. We had Very Censored. Needs to keep that to himself. We also had Resident SD, I Need Fruit, FIFA, some others, Nicholas Haman as well. We had Gum a bit earlier on, Grey Four, Peoples, Twinny, Rick. Plenty of people throughout the show. They've all been sticking around despite the lack of my suggestive anagrams. Stuck around despite the technical problems, and for that I have to give you guys a huge thank you for sticking with me tonight. It's been appreciated, even if this is a bit shorter than normal. You've got plenty of time to listen to the 24/7, that means, and request some great tunes. Get that King of Requesters number up for next week, except I say that and I just remembered what's get it up for 2 weeks time. You can do it, I believe in you people. Anyway, tonight, coming up in just a moment, you will be moved in about an hour and a half's time. Coming up is Late and Live, the mashup mix, as also requested by Frost Gamer, hence why we're calling this the Night of Frost. It is July, and we're calling it that. We decided. The Night of Frost, because we've got the mashup mix coming on Late and Live. Requests, I believe, might still be open, because I haven't seen a request the closed thing. So, it doesn't say they're open here either. So, no, it is now closed. Okay, I just scrolled a bit up. Thank you, Discord, for not scrolling all the way up on that conversation. So, requests are now closed, but listen to the great picks from the Radio Sega community. Various mashups in there, including music from Sonic 3, Gunstar Heroes, Zero Wing, Jet Set Radio, Shenmue, Golden Axe, and many more. And I'm sure there's going to be some serious mashups, and then there's just going to be some memes, I think, knowing you lot. Let's put it that way. You're going to keep it serious for the first half, and then it's just all going to go down the pan, and we'll all be giggling to ourselves. No splash wave in there, thankfully, although it's a mashup. It's a soundscape. It's a mashup of various sources. Counts, I think. RSN Live coming up at 2 a.m. on Saturday, talking the same old nonsense on the Mumble server and on the IRC server that I'm sure you've come to know and love if you ever tuned into it. Saturdays at 9 p.m. is the Hidden Palace with Skyblaze discussing something. Not too sure yet. That's normally announced on the day itself. Saturday night Sega, I'm sure, probably announcing what it's talking about sometime soon. I don't know. He might have said it's not on, and I might just not have remembered that. It it's plausible. But I think it's on, and I think it's on Saturdays at 10 p.m. In fact, I know it's on Saturdays at 10 p.m. It's just whether it's on this Saturday. LMC Block is Sundays at 7 p.m. As far as I know, that should be a new episode of Radio Redux. But if not, it's part two of July's LMC cast, which you heard the first part of last week, and you'll be able to hear on the not on Radio Sega Media, because we don't put it on there, but you'll be able to hear it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and other platforms of choice. Be able to hear it on all of those in about the coming week's time. Then that rolls us back around to Glitch, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Gavi did send to me what that would be. I shall actually have a look at that now, because it might be something that I can talk about, possibly. And he did actually say what it would be on SNS as well. I just wasn't really quite listening at that point. It was 12 o'clock. Wanted to go to sleep. It's not there. He hasn't uploaded it. So I can't actually tell you what it is. Not a sausage. But Glitch is coming up. Tuesdays 9. Notice how I didn't sound as confident in that one. Club Sega, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. discussing the best in arcade gaming in the Sega community and all the arcade news for various companies throughout that one. And your tunes for the arcades played on our number one coin op spot. I believe it might be the final episode of the Sega Lounge this Thursday. If not, it's the second to last one because it's going on a summer break. But join KC on Thursday for an interview with who I'm sure is going to be an amazing guest discussing their relation to Sega or the Sega community. Then rolling it back around to Pick and Mix, Fridays at 7 p.m. UK time. Sure you want to know what it's going to be? Well, if you look at that calendar, the 31st next Friday, meaning it's a Radio Sega Shuffle, which could feature various segments from Radio Sega's history and Radio Sega's present. All chosen randomly. Anything could appear, so you're gonna want to miss that one. Apparently, I was close to saying that, but you're not gonna want to miss that one if you're a fan of Radio Sega. If you are, you don't want to miss any show on the station, but apparently, especially not that one. Who would have thunk it, right? Anyway, thank you all for listening. Let's leave you with one more song now, and it has to be a credits theme. It's not a final song block unless you leave it off of a credits theme, is it? Out of the three games, this is the one that I wanted to hear the most, from Sparks the Rocket Knight Adventures 2. It's a great tune. It's, when you know it, it's called Credits. Strange that. I've been Green Viperite. Thank you all for listening. You've been amazing. You've been rude to me, not gonna lie, but other than that, it's been eventful, let's say that. Thank you all for listening. Keep listening to Radio Sega. Keep doing what you do. And most importantly, stay safe. Please. I don't want any of you going missing or catching the yucky stuff. So stay safe. Wear masks, etc. Don't go out unless it's necessary. Don't be a douchebag and ruin it for everyone else. Thank you all for listening. I'll catch you all next week for a Radio Sega Shuffle. Bye-bye.
Enjoyed the show? Check out the full Radio Sega live schedule at radiose.ga/shows. Radio Sega, playing the best Sega music 24/7.